Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Leading the field of greens in regulation. His girlfriend, Becky Edwards, All-American soccer player at Florida State.
Joe, that's actually his new girlfriend. That's Jenna Sims.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
My oldest boy, Kobe, who played 10 years professionally, just made me a grandpappy. I stole David Ortiz. I'm Poppy Rocket now, so I took a little bit of that.
Pitch outside for a ball. Poppy Rocket, and that's in for a strike.
This is just a fun game.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hate it when they mess up and get the wrong girlfriend.
Oh, that is bad.
So actually, it's a lot worse, though, when they actually identify the girlfriend as the wife. That is even worse. Yeah,
that whole Poppy Rocket, that sounds like if David Ortiz got into the sex toy business.
Pocket Rocket.
That's the pot. No, because I think there is a Pocket Rocket.
Oh, I think there might be.
But a Poppy Rocket. They need a whole new line
pocket,
of toys.
Pocket Rabbit.
Whole new. There you go. You've heard of the rabbit also.
Yeah. Here's Carly calling from the city of Chicago. Hello, Carl.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
How are you
up?
Doing?
Good.
All right. Well, it's going good in the Midwest, so I know there's a lot of NBA little movement going on. So I'm kind of curious, like, how bad do you guys want Jimmy Butler? Because we need to get rid of him.
All right, let's negotiate. What do you want to get? What do you want?
Well, I would like some draft picks in the future.
Okay, right. Write this down. Hold on, let me write this down.
Can
draft
do.
Draft picks.
Got him.
Future, okay.
All right. But there's got to be condition picks. So,
okay, condition.
Yeah. So
okay, what else?
Got to make sure a couple lottery picks.
Lottery.
And
got them.
Okay, got that. Okay. Anything else?
I like Gerald Green.
Gerald Green. Okay, we'll throw
done.
Green. Hey, you know we're gonna throw in Glenn Ordway. We'll throw him in also.
Gerald freaking Green, you came up with. Well, Carl, what the Christ? Gerald Green?
He did start a couple playoff games.
Gerald Green?
That's what he
said. Wait, didn't Gerald Green start one of those Chicago games? Didn't he start in one of those Chicago games when they were down 0-2?
And he was like two of them.
And then in the third game, he started that third game when they were down.
I'm not sure he's going to be back.
That is bogus!
Not sure he's going to be back.
I mean, you
want to
negotiate with some of these guys. Right? So lots of demands. Go ahead, keep going.
Phelan's in New York next up here on EEI. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So I was going to tweet this one out, but I decided let's get on the horn with you guys first. So I have an interesting trade proposal I thought of this morning. It involves three teams. So first, we give our third pick over to Indiana. We're not getting Paul George back, though. We give Paul George over to Cleveland. We get Kevin Love from Cleveland to Boston, and then we have to give another player to Cleveland. So maybe Avery Bradley or Jay Crowder. Gives us a decent player who's not one of these. I guess he's kind of a stretch forward, but he's a little bit bigger. You might be able to put him in the center power forward spot. So then we also, you know, during the offseason, we're able to still sign the dude from Utah, Kayward. And I think that's a nice fit.
So you want to give up number three and Avery Bradley for Kevin Love?
The player is optional. It doesn't have to be Avery Bradley. It could be Jay Crowder, some other player that goes to Cleveland, so they just don't get Paul George. But I think they're kind of a little bit eerie of losing.
Got a week of this, you know that, right?
All right, forget about the player. You want to do number three for Kevin Love?
Correct, yes.
Oof, I don't. Number three for Kevin Love.
Well, I really want Anthony Davis, but I'm not getting him. I don't think.
Nope.
See, I like Kevin Love.
Yeah,
I like that addition, but I know it's like, is that where we're going?
I mean, I hope not.
Because I almost feel like Horford and Love are similar, even though I think Kevin Love can shoot better and rebound better and actually do a lot better. So, can we somehow swap those guys out?
Yeah. T See, that's going to be part of the problem. I think you have the same problem when you're thinking about Anthony Davis. And you're sitting there going, okay, if we could redo this thing now, we can get Anthony Davis, we can get rid of Horford, right? Then we can kind of now build the wings.
Wouldn't it be classic? All the talk about what a great, you know, screen setter is and great passer is. And, you know what, we didn't think it was that good. We thought he had hit his limit. He hit his ceiling. We're going to swap him out.
You wouldn't give Kevin Love for the number three pick?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to do that. I don't think he's good enough.
See, I'm not the biggest fan of Kevin Love, but I think I'd do that, Luke.
I like him on your team. You do number three for Kevin Love?
They gave two first-rounders, two number one picks overall in the draft.
Well, one kid was a dud.
Yeah, he was still the number one pick overall in the draft.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
was. Yeah, it was in his first year. Well, you didn't know what he was going to be.
Well, you got
was
Kevin
the first
Love,
year.
Who was a top 10 player in Minnesota. So you acquired a guy that was averaging, 20 and 15 when he was there? And then after watching him in Cleveland, do you want him now?
I think what you're
doing.
He's
also, 3 or 4 years older?
Yeah. But he's under a pretty good deal because he's under an old max contract.
This is just
guy.
About philosophy. You want him to trade three to get a player to win now.
Yeah, but
I don't.
Okay,
I want him to draft the player, and I want him to see what they can build, and maybe they can continue to be the number two seed, which they're going to be. And whether they're going to be the two seed, the second best team in the East, whether they don't sign a damn soul and they just draft a player.
I know what I've got with Kevin Love. I got no idea what I've got with Josh Jackson. He could be a
complete. Any of the young
guys. He could bomb. Lou, do yourself a favor. Look at the last few, 5, 8 years. Go 10 years out and look at the first round of the draft and see how many guys you sit there and say, okay, he's working at a Dairy Queen now.
Mm-hmm.
He's
an
insurance.
He
owns a Dairy Queen. He's an insurance salesman.
I thought you trusted Danny.
There's tons of them.
Oh, we'll see.
Well, he makes mistakes. They all make mistakes.
Just like, unless you have like LeBron James, or you call it an Anthony Davis, and I would even say Ben Simmons was a stretch.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, who was basically doing the same thing that we were talking about, Markelle Fultz, didn't make the tournament. If you're the best player in the draft, your team should make the tournament. That shouldn't be a debate. You should be the reason why they're winning those games, even though they don't have better players. But just like the NBA is changing overall as far as how teams move around and how they actually play the game, the same way, it's also changed the way you look at the draft.
See, I think the problem...
Go through the draft and look at all the players that are on there and as far as like how old they are. Good luck finding a guy who's a junior. Every now and then, though, there's a guy in there who's 22, and you're like, whoa, that guy's old. Why'd he wait till he was 22? There's got to be something wrong with him. Look at a guy who's 22 the same way a lot of people look at a guy who didn't win any games as a college player. They go, oh, wait, he's 22. Well, if he was really good, he would have been out of there by the time he was 20.
Here's what I know about Kevin Love. I know everything about Kevin Love because I've seen him play. I've seen him play at the highest level, okay? So I've seen his flaws. I've also seen the pluses, what he can bring to the table. When you talk about these kids, and this is what I think we all do, we fall in love with a name on the board. We've never seen these kids play more than a game here or a game there. We have no clue. For an example, Josh Jackson. You know, I heard Tom Curran the other night, and he's raving about him. Not a single mention that the kid has got disciplinary issues to the point where he was suspended by his own team, by his own coach in a game. That he, apparently kicked in some girl's car. He's in anger management classes right now. That is required as part of him rejoining the team. None of this concerns anybody.
This is just about philosophy. Forget about the names. I haven't seen any of them play enough.
That's what I mean, but you fall in love.
Danny Ainge, watch these guys play and tell me who the best player is and go get them. You passed on one because you didn't think Fultz was worth it. You thought the guy at three, you like 3 and 4 in this draft. You think either one of them could be just as good as Fultz. So you draft down, you move forward, a draft pick moving forward, more assets to make moves down the road. So you draft whatever player it is and you try to develop the guy. That's just a philosophy. That's all. This isn't about like, do I think Jackson's going to be a great player or Tatum's going to be a great player? No, I don't know. Nobody knows. But I like to think that Danny's got a pretty good idea.
All right, so you're the in Danny we trust guy, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't like the system.
I'm just disappointed because I thought he was going to get more.
Yeah,
only thing I don't like about
this.
All if right. It was 1 through 5, instead of why he let Philadelphia throw in the protection of 1 is beyond me. I don't understand that. I want it 1 through 5. Then you sit there, and we'll see what the Sacramento thing. Did he allow Philly to protect the Sacramento pick? That if next year falls through, then, I look at it and say, I just don't know if he got enough. But the philosophy-wise, I've been pretty consistent.
Yep.
I want them to draft the player and sign the best available free agent. You're the 2 seed. push it forward, and maybe find out where you are in a couple years.
All right, that's fair. But I think you're the in Danny we trust guy, because I'm sitting there telling you this is too much risk in trying to do that. It's not an exact science. It is far from an exact science. And you're dealing with kids 18, 19 years old. You have no idea what's in their head, what's in their heart. What happens when they suddenly are handed over all of this money? What do you get out of them? Here's what I'd rather do. I'd rather take guys that I've already seen. Jimmy Butler, I've seen enough of. Gordon Hayward, I've seen enough of. I've seen enough of Kevin Love. I know the pluses. I know the minuses. I know what they can bring to the table. And then I have to rely less on Danny Ainge, because we all know what those players are playing at this level against other NBA stars.
And the other thing is that you have, what is it, seven first-round draft picks in the next 3 years?
Yes.
You're not going to use all of them. No matter what, you're either going to flip them or you're going to trade them away for something else. So you know he's not going to pick seven first-round basketball players in the next 3 years. It's not going to happen. I mean, so you know that. You know those are just trading pieces.
Christian, all you have to do is look at the drafts last 8-10 years, and you're going to find huge, great stars. You know, we're sitting here right now, and we're talking about 1 versus 3. Could it possibly be that whoever gets drafted number 6, I don't know, maybe sure, it's De'Aaron Fox, turns out to be the next Steph Curry? Mm-hmm. We don't know. We don't know. But here's what I do know. I know what Jimmy Butler is. And I know there's some flaws. I'm not saying there aren't. We know what these players are. We know what Hayward is. We know what he is at this level, with this lifestyle, with having all of the money. We get it. We have a much better, clearer picture on these players. That's what I want to do. Let's go to John in Boston. Hello, John.
Well, hi, guys. Great show. Listen to you all the time. Just wanted to make a couple of very quick points. I share Lou's thoughts on this, and this is why. It's simple math. He's turning 1 into 3, all right? And you're talking about top 5 picks. Potentially, we don't know what it's going to come down to, but if that's the case, it's a great deal. You're taking the 3rd pick in this year's draft. You're not getting the 6th. And this year's 3rd is far better than Jaylen Brown. 6'8", guy can shoot. He's potentially going to be phenomenal on defense.
I don't think you agree with Lou.
He's taking a shot. But he's got a scout.
Who says any of them are better than Jaylen Brown?
Well, the reports out there, a lot of people felt like Jaylen Brown would be the 8th pick in this year's draft.
So, what do these guys know? We do this in football.
Pay attention, Ordway.
Okay. Well, we do this all the time. We do it in football, do we not? We sit with the draft. How often? These guys are wrong. A lot of the
time. They're all wrong.
It's
harder now to judge what these guys are going to turn into than any other time in the history.
You know what we're doing? We're going into an art museum. We're looking at art. We have no idea of one picture to the next painting to the next painting. And we're sitting there going, oh, my God, it's beautiful. The pastels. Look what they did. We have no idea. We have no clue. The NBA players that are playing already in the system at this level with the same type of comparable talent, we got a much better book on them, don't we?
Yes.
And Danny Ainge has got the act. He now has the flexibility to go and get those players. For the first time, they've got money. They've got assets. They've got all of this stuff. And they can go back and re-sign Isaiah Thomas after they do all of this and go well above the cap. It's the perfect situation for them. Right back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Make OMF part of your daily routine.
Whatever your routine is, batting practice, ground balls, what time you go stretch, how you put your freaking socks on. If you want to call it superstition, I call it routine.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. We'll get to some baseball stuff coming up in the next hour. Not a great outing last night by David Price, but it's okay. I mean, certainly looked like he was going to leave the game with a blister and everything else.
Yeah, 5 innings, 2 runs would have been better.
Yeah.
Send him back up and boom.
Yep. We'll get to it. Peter's in Jamaica Plain. What's up, Peter?
Hey, I told you they weren't going to draft Markel Fultz, but that's not what I call it. I think most people don't understand the draft pick.
But wait a minute. Hold on, Peter. You also said they were going to draft Josh Jackson with the #1 pick.
I said that.
I think I came back and said to you, if they want Josh Jackson, okay, there's a possibility that they'll trade down, right? We did have that conversation. I do remember it. Okay.
We're both great.
We're both good.
Okay. I think most people don't understand the draft pick that they got in return. Okay. If Los Angeles finishes in the bottom 5 next year, or even 6 or 7, okay, they're pretty much guaranteed a top five draft pick. I mean, the odds of getting number one are very slight. If Los Angeles happens to be pretty good and they get like the seventh or eighth draft pick, then they go to next year and they get Sacramento's draft pick, which Sacramento probably will stink.
Yep.
So I think Danny thinks he has to gamble a little bit if he wants to reach the level of Cleveland and Golden State. So that's not as bad a draft pick. It's kind of protected on both ends, but it's more protected for the Celtics because the odds of Los Angeles getting number one are really small. So they're either going to have Sacramento's first pick in 19 or a top five draft pick in 17 along with Brooklyn's pick. So I think he's building for the future. I really hope they draft and keep, like Lou says, keep the player. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Lonzo Ball.
Oh, Jesus.
Great for us.
I love him. He's proved that he's transformative. He did it at USC. They were 500. And then
UCLA. He went to UCLA, by the way.
What did I
say? You said USC. It's 20 miles away. I mean, what's the big deal? They're on the same city.
Lakers got a shot at getting number one next year.
Yes. The best deal for the Celtics might be that Sacramento pick 2 years from now. So what's to say that the...
And we don't know if there's any protections on that, though, yet.
Here's why you don't know when you're dealing with these kids and these draft picks. Is it possible that 2 years from now, they get the Sacramento pick, it's number one in the draft, and that's one of those LeBron, type of players? Is that possible? Of course it is.
Sure.
Anything's possible. When people talk about, like Danny Ainge puts his legacy on the line by passing on Markelle Fultz, that's a bit of a stretch, is it not? So much can happen.
Because they start looking at Jordan. They look at other players who didn't go number one overall. Wait, how could you not pick Jordan number one overall?
But what if Fultz turns into Westbrook, Kyrie Irving? You don't think that? You think that's a false statement? I agree with 100%.
Suppose using that draft pick puts the Celtics in a position where they win the NBA championship 2-3 years from now. I mean, you and I have talked about this with baseball. If you're giving up a high draft pick and you end up getting a player that puts you over the top and you win the whole thing, then you sit there and say, hey, it's part of doing business.
That's what you do.
How is it different?
Because when you're talking about drafting kids out of high school, kids out of college, no idea. More of a crap shooting baseball.
Not when you're drafting 19. You're drafting 18-year-old kids now, Lou.
I know, but in baseball, Glenn, you draft 18-year-old kids when playing with aluminum bats facing kids down in Framingham High School that if you throw anything above 85, you're going to throw no-hitters every freaking day.
I'm not sure it's much different. If we're drafting 23-year-olds in basketball, then I'm with you. Then there's a huge difference there. We're drafting 18-year-old kids.
The fact is that you don't know either way.
You don't know either way, but
let's not compare the sports, right?
No, let's not compare the sports.
Aluminum bats. He just wanted to bring up Framingham High School.
He's
like somehow pub Framingham High School.
Some kid in high school with great numbers. It's like, Jesus.
Here's Steve driving around in a big old truck. What's up, Steve?
Hi, guys. Please, let me finish that point, then you can take me to chat.
Good luck.
I love how when people call in and do that.
I'm on your side, Lou. I don't understand one thing, Glenn. Where did Paul George come from?
What do you mean? Where did he come from?
His mother's womb.
What school did he go to? Where did he go?
Is that where he came from?
I think he's there.
Came from the draft.
All right, and how about our other friend, Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, it would also be from the draft.
Okay, so if you're telling me that all the picks come out of college are essentially garbage because you're saying you want to trade them, Glenn, right? And you don't want to get established players, then what's the NBA comprised of? It has to be college players. I know some of them are in high school, like LeBron and stuff, but there are no Larry Birds, no Magic Johnsons, no Durant or anything like that, or Kyrie Irving's coming out this year. You got to start somewhere. I'm not saying not to trade anybody, but don't you have to take somebody, in the draft and try to build them and try to build your building blocks and get them in place so you can have a core of good players going forward. The way you guys make it sound, not you, I'm on your side here, like there's no one coming out of college any good.
No, Steve,
I don't understand why you can't comprehend.
It's a risk.
What we're sitting here
two
talking
be,
about.
Five, two, six, eight could be Steve, better
Steve,
than three. I get it.
Do yourself a favor. Do a Google search. Go over first-round draft picks in the NBA over the last 8 years. Give yourself some time. Don't do the last couple of years. And you will see, as you go through the list, you're going to say, who? What? When we do that, when we're talking about trades, we're not doing that. We know exactly what Jimmy Butler is, what he brings to the table, positives, negatives. So, no, I'm not saying that there isn't a great player or players in this year's first-round draft. What I'm saying is we don't know which ones they are. When we're dealing with established NBA players, we know exactly what they are. All of their pluses, all of their minuses. To me, it's an easier and a safer way to go. And the other point that I'm bringing up is, in the way the NBA works right now, terrific. You go and you draft Markelle Fultz, and he becomes a star. 5 years from now, he says, you know what? I want to go and play in Portland. I want to play somewhere. I want to play in Los Angeles. I don't want to play for the Celtics. I'm done. So you spent all that time building this kid up, building his brand up, and he suddenly gets to the free agency and he says, I'm going to go form my own super team. I'd rather take guys who are mercenaries, who I'm bringing in right now over a short period of time. They all have player options, so they all opt out, and you just change up every 2 years.
But you can't keep doing that, Glenn.
Sure you can.
No, you can't.
Absolutely. That's the league now.
No, but at some point, to have to come from the draft, you can't go out there in free agency and sign five mercenaries. You can't do it.
Well, I have.
At some point,
from the draft.
You need your who do you have in your draft? Because you want to trade everybody.
I have Avery Bradley from the draft. I have
Avery's gone. Well, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, because the cycle is over. I have Jaylen Brown that have just started.
You're bumping up the trade. You're going to get Butler.
You're going to draft some of these. Well, you don't know that, but you might trade the third pick in the
draft. You have to draft these. Again, all these great teams, and I know LeBron made his own down in Miami, they all have something in common. A great superstar that they drafted that people want to go play with. And if you're always giving these players up to chase these guys, then you're never going to have that one player that people want to go play with.
Lou, the trend right now is, look at the recent teams here. If you don't win in Cleveland, even though you got not only the number one pick and maybe the best player of the decade in the draft, but you got some other players wrapped around him, then guess what? He goes, picks up, and goes to Miami, even though it's his hometown. Then when it doesn't work, he goes back to Cleveland.
I do want to wait a minute, because in Cleveland, you tell me who they surrounded LeBron with. Give me that young core that they surrounded LeBron with.
He was the young talent.
Who did he have?
Well, he was the young talent. They had older
left
players.
The team when they drafted around him.
Yeah, but he left. The point is, he left, Lou, and he went somewhere else.
Yeah,
and
they didn't put anything around him.
And then when it didn't work,
when
it expired in Miami, when it expired, they didn't have any more money. They were capped out in Cleveland. That's why he went to Miami.
Because they were horrible. They didn't put anybody around him.
They were capped
out. Why did he go back to Cleveland? Because they drafted a great young stud in Kyrie Irving. And they thought, you know what? Wiggins, we can move him for Kevin Love. We can build the superstar team. Mm. And they would be winning championships if they didn't build a bigger superstar team out in Golden State through the draft.
Do you remember it was
a
trade?
It's just bad timing for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Everybody keeps on assuming that the LeBron thing was that LeBron simply signed back in Cleveland. The deal with Miami was originally a trade because they got first-round draft picks. So Cleveland ended up building through LeBron and his original move. They got Wiggins and Bennett and players that could bring him back. But once it expired in Miami, he got his ass up and he left and he went to Cleveland. And we're now seeing it in what Durant's doing. Do any of us think this trend is going to stop? That suddenly guys are going to say, oh, come on, guys. This is not right.
No, but I feel like it's not like it's the only difference is that they're able to do it. Like the mentality of basketball players has not changed in the last 30 years. It's just their ability to move, to get up and move. And now that more guys are doing it, it's just acceptable. Like the old school.
Well, the system allows you to do it.
Yeah.
And it didn't years ago.
I know. So old school NBA fans look at the way these current players act and the way they treat their business. They don't like it. They want you to stay with your team. They want Paul George to stay down there and go down with the ship. If we're great, it's going to be because of me. If we're bad, it's going to be because of me. They don't care. They want them to stay and ride it out.
See, I think if you were going to do this and you wouldn't have brought Horford in last year. At the money you brought him in, you wouldn't have done this. You would have sat there and said, let's do what Milwaukee's doing. Let's just go through the draft every year.
And here's the other thing.
Do it slowly. And
financially, what is possible? Could you have a dream scenario of a Paul George, an Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, and a Gordon Hayward on the same team? I mean, could that even work? And for how long?
You can actually get the...
Because that to me is, okay, so here's your dream scenario. Well, how do you fit it all in one big package? to actually to legitimately make the numbers work.
I believe you can do the deal that I mentioned earlier.
Which is what?
In which you go and deal for Jimmy Butler right now. You'd have to give up a lot. So you're giving up the third pick, but the third pick really is $5.6 million that's committed to your cap. So if you don't make that deal and you draft a player, you're going to carry $5.6 million.
So you're getting Jimmy Butler.
So Bradley, $8.8 million. Crowder, $6.8 million. That brings you up to $15.6 million. Zeller has a deal in which it's not guaranteed. It's $8 million. So you could ship him as part of the deal. Since it's not guaranteed, I guess they could cut him and actually not have to deal with it. But you got to find a way of doing $18.7 million because you're still nip and tuck right now in getting a max contract room to bring in Hayward. If you want to do Hayward and you want to do Butler, it's really tight. I think it's doable.
See, if you're going to get rid of a Bradley and a Crowder, I'm like, okay, because Terry Rozier is going to take the place of Bradley. You still have Marcus Smart. And you take a guy like Crowder, and that's where Jaylen Brown's going to get more playing time. So those bodies don't bother me at all.
So do any of us feel, and some people did this last year, and remember, it apparently was a stumbling block in the deal for Butler because Chicago wants Crowder. Was anybody going to feel bad if Crowder's traded away?
No.
Especially if you end up with Butler and you end up with Hayward. He really doesn't get a lot of play.
So you could fit, let me ask you, so you could fit Butler, Thomas, Hayward, and Horford, all that, those four guys. Forget about who the
Golden State's going to have four max contract guys at the end of the season, beginning of the season. They're going to have four. You can do four.
Yeah.
You have to play some games. But so we agree with Crowder. So Danny doesn't think that much, I don't think, of the number three pick in the draft. So Chicago's going to want something big to be able to sell to their crowd. Crowder, they apparently like in Chicago, and nobody here is going to be upset about it. I think Avery Bradley, there'll be some pushback. People will be upset, but let's remember, he's going into the last year of his deal at, what did I say, close to $9 million. You're going to have to re-sign him next year, along with re-signing Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I don't think
anybody's going to be heartbroken. You can't re-sign Avery Bradley because he's going to get big bucks.
You have his replacement.
Right. Yeah, so you're losing 1 year of Avery Bradley.
Or Avery Bradley getting traded. Or Jay Crowder. Nobody. Because they realize that. You've already seen it. So Evan Turner got, you know what Avery Bradley's going to get. And when you look at this team, the improvement has to come at the wing somewhere. Right. A wing score. So I don't think anyone's going to be upset with either one of those guys.
All right, 617-779-7937. You know what's going to drive everybody crazy. The Anthony Davis.
Get that out of your head. It's not happening.
We can blame Tangway for this one. He started this mess.
He did? Yeah. What did he write?
He just threw it out last week as a hot take, you know? And now everybody's jumping aboard. We'll get into it coming up next.
We return to more of Ordway, Merloney, and Fourier.
You ruined it!
Forget it.
Are you happy now?
I'm trying to get to me.
Are you happy?
How many times can this happen?
Stop!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we got some other stuff to get to during today's program, including the latest with Colin Kaepernick, because somebody is obsessed with this story.
Yes.
But this is a legitimate one today. And I'll be the first to throw the hot take out there. He's got zero chance of getting a job next year.
He had zero.
Zero chance.
He had 0.0 chance before that.
Sounds like he's starting to realize it, too. So he's going
exactly,
all in.
Lou, exactly. He's finally throwing the towel
in. It's about the same percentage that the Boston Celtics have of acquiring Anthony Davis here in the offseason. And yet, I'm afraid of how much time we're going to spend on this story because it's a great dream.
0.0.
We lost Flounder this week. Let's be careful.
What?
We lost him this week.
Oh. Flounder.
Oh, Flounder. Okay.
Flounder died? You didn't see Flounder die?
No, I did not see that.
Stephen First, yes, Flounder. Gone.
How'd he die? You don't know.
He had diabetes.
Did he really?
What a shock.
No. No. I couldn't tell you anything that he was even in after that. And I don't think anyone who even listens to our show even knows.
Oh, he was in, was he not in like St. Elsewhere? He was in like a regular TV show.
Really?
For a long time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had regular paying gig, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Checks.
Well, okay.
Checks every 2 weeks, the whole.
I'm sure he got a residual check for that also.
So does anybody on this show want to go and take the Tangway bait here and go with the Anthony Davis?
No.
Great player. I would love to have him.
Yeah, can we? That are not going to happen. Anthony Davis isn't one of them.
No.
You spend, if the NBA is all about getting stars, New Orleans found a star. Oh, no, by the way, they really want young stars. He's got both of those things. They just got DeMarcus Cousins, okay? They're going to try and see if they can make that work out at least for one more year.
You have to.
But even though if it doesn't work out with Cousins, Cousins is gone and Davis stays.
Right.
And the other thing, I mean, I don't understand people, oh, this is like, this is the first step to get him. You know, number one overall is worth more than number three, correct? We don't know what the future pick is.
You're good at math.
But you're going to sit there and you're going to trade away and say, oh, but look what we have next year. Well, that could be eight. Yeah, but okay, if it's eight next year, we don't get it. But we're going to get Sacramento's the year after. And we don't even know until this thing's announced if that's protected. A lot of people are thinking that that's protected in some way. What you have in the future is completely unknown. That's the only thing you knew that was known was number one this year, and you just gave it up for three. That's not going to help you get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that doesn't give you evidence that it's all about Anthony Davis. It does just the opposite. But you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it all week, and people are going to be screaming about
it.
And the only reason they're going to say it is because Boston is the only team you can look at the league, in the league right now, that has those assets if New Orleans wants to start all over again. But you just brought it up. Why? But Boston's the only team that has the assets. So because of it, we're going to have fake news, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the possibility of Anthony Davis coming to the Boston.
Well, throw out a different name there. If you're just playing the name game, throw out the Greek Freak.
They're building.
By the way, they didn't like strike gold with him
through the draft.
So let's see if we can do it again, because Lightning's going to strike twice, right, in the same spot. That's what New Orleans is sitting there going, what, are we going to give away this guy and then hope that one of these younger guys, and with the we have more draft picks now. We can see maybe we can strike gold again. It's not happening.
You know what it's like? It's like if we were 10 years ago, Brady is the best quarterback in the league, but the team is not necessarily winning enough games, and so you deal them off for all these draft picks that maybe you can get.
Yeah, let's see if I can get a speedy wide receiver. Let me get a really good left tackle.
It makes no sense because – you're right. What are you going to do? Go get, let's say Boston gives you five first-round draft picks. What's to say that any one of them, based on the percentages out there, is going to come close to being what you got in Anthony Davis? What do you think the percentages are?
It's got to be the timing, though, right? I mean, you know, if Anthony Davis is pulling a Paul George, or if Anthony Davis is 2 years out and you don't think you're going to sign him because you don't think he wants to be in New Orleans, then you're going to start putting him out there.
He's 1 year into a five-year deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's timing, you know, and you've got DeMarcus Cousins. You want to at least see them play together for a full year, and you're not ready to move on from this guy.
Yeah, I think they'll trade him by the trading deadline. DeMarcus Cousins, it's his last year, right? Is the last
DeMarcus
year of his deal?
Cousins.
Yeah, last year of his deal, I think. Yes, they want to play the two of them and see what they've got next year. The general manager's on the hot seat for his job. I would bet you by the All-Star break, you will know what that team is, and that's when you will deal away DeMarcus Cousins. But we're going to spend a lot of time with it, so get ready for it. But it makes no sense. It makes no sense for New Orleans. It makes sense for Boston. It just makes no sense for New Orleans.
Not yet.
Here's Ken down in the Cape. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I agree with you, Glenn, in the sense that, like, last year, I was waiting for the – I was like, we didn't get the number one pick. We got number three. And we get the number one pick this year, and we trade it for a couple of number threes. It doesn't make any sense. I think at least what they were saying earlier, if we got something in return, even at Okafor, if we got Okafor
– do we have a sounder, you know, where the room smells after like Lou farts or something like that?
Like a warning.
You would give up the first round pick for Okafor?
No.
That works.
And Okafor.
Body.
If we get number three and Okafor, we traded one for three, and that's all we did.
No, you got future picks.
What might be a number one, number two, number three pick. Sacramento 2 years from now could be that top pick. They're going to suck. Go look at their future.
But we were waiting for number one, and we gave them up.
Through 2 years from now, we're going to get number one from Sacramento and be looking to deal that too.
But if Danny looks at it and says that number one pick is not, he's not better than number three, then why wouldn't you drop to three and get an additional gift?
Oh, I'll take a gift. We have a special gift.
Well,
yeah,
see,
we have a little gift
that's
for you.
Where I agree. That's why I don't have a problem with it. I just would have. I don't think he should have allowed Philly to protect that pick next year in the way that they did.
That's a legitimate argument.
Yeah, so that's yeah. I'm fine with
that's legit.
And moving back, if he feels like Fultz isn't the guy and he thinks these other guys will be just as good, then you acquire some future assets. But I wanted to draft this player, and I want to see what he's like.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Danny did due diligence and called virtually every single team for that number one, or do you think he just called Philly?
Due diligence.
Okay. So if that's the case, that's the best deal. He'd be stupid to take a lesser deal, especially as some people have pointed out, when it's a team in your own division. Though I don't think anybody follows divisions. Do we follow divisions?
No, but in the NBA? This is Danny is in a perfect situation because he's got all the gold. I mean, he's got all the assets. So if somebody wants to rebuild and they want to start, they call him. He doesn't have to call anybody. Hey, listen, okay, we're changing our mentality. This guy's pretty good. You have exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, that's the best part about this. You don't need to make one call. If Philly wants it, they're going to call you. Who do you think started that whole conversation? I think it was Danny Ainge calling Philly or Philly calling him?
Oh, you're probably right. If you're looking
sit
right
back,
now.
You have what everybody wants.
If you're going young. If you're Philly, look at it. You've got pretty much what you want. You need a guard.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though they claim Ben Simmons is going to be their point guard.
Well, they said that was like an experiment they wanted to do.
They needed a guard.
Who would you rather be right now? Boston or Philly?
Boston.
3 years from now, 2-3 years from now. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, moving
forward. I don't know what Philly's going to do 3-4 years
from now.
I know
forward,
what they are
right
today.
Now, when you look at Boston, you got Isaiah and you got Horford and you got everybody else. Or you got Philly and you got what's the kid? Saric?
Yes.
That kid there. Yeah. Simmons is coming back. Embiid. We'll see. Yeah. And now possibly Fultz.
I'm taking Boston because I know what I've got. And I know what the flexibility I have.
But what you have isn't good enough with Boston, correct?
Yeah, but it might be in the next 2-3 years. It might be. Next 2-3 years, I've got bona fide talent. I know what Isaiah Thomas is. I know that just turning 19 years of age was going to replace Isaiah Thomas, and the Celtics were going to unload him. Danny Ainge found a guy who can give you 30 a night and is the best scorer in the fourth quarter in the league, the highest efficiency rating in the fourth quarter, despite the fact that he's only 5'9", 5'8".
I'd rather have Philly.
See, you say that by the time they're good,
Philadelphia,
they're all,
you know,
they're
what?
All gone.
And everybody said that 3 years ago about Philly and 6 years ago
Philly
about Philly. And 9 years ago.
Just,
this is what Philly is.
No one's ever said that about Philly.
Sure they are. They've always
not.
Been that.
Philly's been doing this.
They've been doing this for 20 years.
Forever.
Yeah, I know. But then they're like, okay, what do you got? You got Embiid. Good. You got Noel. Okay, cool. Okafor. All right, you got a bunch of bigs. You're still a ways away from it. But now it's a little bit different. Now you got a couple of bigs. You got Simmons, who at one point they're talking about
hasn't
playing point
yet.
Guard. And
hasn't
then you got,
played. Hasn't
I'm
played
just
yet.
Talking about moving forward. I would rather have Philly.
I think you're crazy. And I've heard people
because
say
what you have here in Boston, you know, is not good.
I tell
enough.
You
it's
what,
just
you've
start
got
of building something.
You've got a better argument if you're talking about
Boston
Milwaukee.
Be better next
give
year.
Me Milwaukee
Boston
and
be better
give me Milwaukee.
2 years?
Give me Milwaukee, and you've got an argument.
4 years from now,
give
I don't
me
know.
Minnesota. Maybe you've
four
got an argument.
4 or 5 years from now,
Philly.
Who's better?
Forget about it.
Who's better? 4 or 5 years from now, Celtics or Philly?
Celtics, because they'll move these players around every 2 years. And eventually, 5 years from now, you know, Embiid will leave. He'll go to Los Angeles. Be the center for the starting team out there with Paul George.
I mean, if Fultz is the player that people think he can be and Simmons is the player that people think he can be.
Can.
With Embiid.
Maybe.
Oh, okay, this is part of the discussion. And then Embiid stays healthy. I mean, you might look saying, why do I got to leave?
Because I know what
we're building something here that maybe Golden State was building 5 years ago.
I know what I've got with Boston. Plus, when I signed
what you got, it's not good enough.
Was that
what you have?
Well,
isn't
not
good enough.
Not this past year. You're right. It wasn't. But what's to say it's not going to be good enough 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now? I think you'll be waiting a long time for Philadelphia. I really do. Unless you go get a major star who's 28 and is in the peak right now, you're going to be waiting
well,
a long
time. Well, when you drafted
four
players like this, yes, you can go out and you can sign the big free agent.
Philly's been doing this for years.
No, nope, not like this.
Michael Carter-Williams was going to be the guy.
Not
remember
like
that?
This.
Had a great rookie season. Where's he now? Bounced around to two
they
other teams.
They have been horrible for years. And last year they're like,
because they haven't.
You actually saw some talent. Like you might they draft that kid and you're like, eh, I don't know. I don't think he's that. Nobody really thought he was that great. He was just scoring points on an awful Philly team. It's different this year. It was different last year with Embiid. It's different. We'll see. I'm agreed. Listen, I don't know about Simmons. Well,
can Embiid stay healthy?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, that's a problem because if you look at Philadelphia, I think they've had difficulty keeping these big guys healthy. Right? So, but Philly's gone through this. If you want to argue Milwaukee, you got a legitimate debate.
I think Milwaukee's another one. They're
higher up on when you, if you're looking at the graph right now, Milwaukee's higher up. They have players that are ready to get themselves up into that NBA superstar spot. I'm not sure.
Things have been different for Philly the last couple of years. 5-6 years ago, no one ever sat there and said, "Ooh, they're building something." Nope. They're awful every single year. It's been a little bit different. I'm not talking about Okafor. It's been a little bit different. You got to admit.
So do you know that's his Jacksonville.
They're building something special.
As I said, you take Milwaukee, then we have an. I give it. It's an argument.
Will you please take a call?
Here's Bob and Athol. Hello, Bob.
Hey, I gotta agree that Boston. I'd rather be Boston right now because.
I agree with you.
Philadelphia. And Beeb, he's got Bill Walton disease. He's not going to stay on the floor.
Huh?
Bill Walton disease. Apparently he's got his own disease.
So he speaks without taking a breath and just rambles on and on? That disease?
Yes, he has. Been injury prone.
And in today's technology, they have not been able to keep him on the court. I like the move that the Celtics made.
Okay.
Good call.
It opens up many options for him. They can get a good player right now, or they can build for the future. I like the move.
Okay, terrific. Thanks. Let's go to Brian. He's up in New Hampshire. What's up, Brian? Hello, Brian.
I just wanted to call and talk about the trade and highlight that even though it's a little bit of a gamble, if everything were to work out perfectly, you can't rule out the possibility of the Celtics having the number one pick from Brooklyn 18 and then, let's say, number two or three. And I think it's obviously early to project on high school prospects for next year's draft. But I think guys like Michael Porter and DeAndre Ayton, just in early projections, actually could end up being what we really call a transformative player, whether that's an Anthony Towns, an Embiid, a Kevin Durant. And I think that those guys actually, in the early going, will project out to be even better than the top in this draft, including Fultz.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah, because you don't have the number one pick anymore. So now we look forward to next year and how next year's draft is even better than this year's draft. And last year's draft is even better than the one before that because that's when the Celtics have picked. So we're just going to keep pushing this forward as to this is a great move because next year's draft is so much better than this year's draft. And then you know what? When they don't get number one or they don't get number two and they get four or five, that's going to be fine because you know what? Next year's draft, 2019, is really
the good
draft.
Sounds like the Sixers.
We're going to keep doing this.
Sounds like the way the Sixers handle their business.
Well, the Sixers, give you an example.
We're just going to keep getting number one draft picks.
Well, give you an example of it. Evan Turner was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. Everybody thought he was going to be a great player. He was drafted as the second pick overall in the draft. How did that work out for Philadelphia? Oh, that's right. He went to the Boston Celtics, developed into a player, was a contributor off the bench, and then he got himself a big, huge $70 million contract and went elsewhere.
Is that your example why you don't think Philly's in good shape right now?
I think it's like a crapshoot.
8 years ago?
If you're building solely by the draft, and your example of Golden State, it's an outlier. You just don't have teams to do
Oklahoma
this.
Oklahoma City?
What about Oklahoma City?
What about them?
How many championships at Oklahoma City?
Well, it's not my fault that GM's a freaking idiot and trades away Harden when he didn't have to. You think if Danny Ainge
had to hold on to Serge Ibaka?
Yeah, they could. They couldn't have. Go back and look at that. They could have got rid of Kendrick Perkins, used that amnesty clause or whatever it was. You think Danny Ainge, if he had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, would have let any of them leave?
I don't know.
Of course not.
I don't know.
The guy's an idiot.
Danny's unpredictable. That's what we keep on hearing. I think he's going to be predictable this week. We shall see. Back to your phone calls. We'll get into some Red Sox coming up in the next hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.